Hello and welcome to another Big Hoss podcast with your host, Jameson Frierson, of course, leading everything. And of course, I know it's been a while again. I know, guys. I know I've been saying that I'm going to try to do more podcasts and whatnot. But as of course, as everything else has been going, life takes its toll. Everything happens, things go down, and I'm just really not able to focus on the podcast like I want to focus on them. So I guess I'm going to try to rectify that and try to do as many as possible. I'm not going to make this podcast very long. It's going to be kind of short because the Cavaliers and the Denver Nuggets playing a little bit. So I want to kind of watch that game and kind of get my analysis and be able to, write my article about that game and whatnot. But this will definitely be a short one. Of course, baseball season starting. You got the Indians right now playing the Chicago Cubs. And unfortunately, they're getting mugged right now, 9-5. Schwarber just hit 2 home runs in this game. So it's kind of looking like they just left off where they left off at the World Series a couple years ago. So not a very good showing. But however, it is spring training, and of course, the regular season hasn't begun yet. Of course, the season begins for the Indians on March 29th against the Seattle Mariners, and then, of course, at home opening day, April 7th, against the Kansas City Royals. So that should definitely be a good one. I'm not going to really, tell off what I'm saying, but, to get on the Indians a little bit, I do think that we will have a good year. I keep saying and seeing people talking about that, we'll win the AL Central and all this and all that. But I'm not really worried about winning the AL Central. I'm worried about winning the World Series is what I'm worried about. I'm worried about not getting eliminated in the ALDS. That's what I'm worried about. So it's going to be fun to win the AL, win our division, winning the Central and whatnot. But I actually want to win a World Series. So I'm not somebody that likes little, moral victories. I want to win the whole thing. So while that's all well and good, I prefer wins. I prefer championships. And I think that's where everybody's mindset should be right now. But I think DeAndre Alonso signing is definitely going to help us. He hit a bomb today. We still need to, pretty much shore up that bullpen. Of course, Greg Collins out there. I think I mentioned that before. But I think the draw will be fine. Of course, they don't have, like I said, many more days until the season begins. But I definitely think they'll be good. To kind of touch on the Browns right now, of course, every single day. Like you guys know, I'm always on social media and whatnot, kind of looking at it, just what everybody's talking about. And every single day, ever since the season ended, it's been about the draft. It's been about, do we take Darnold, Mayfield? Do we take Rosen? Do we take, Allen? Do we take all these guys? Do we take Lamar Jackson? Do we take Bradley Chubb? Each and every day is something different with the Browns. I'm going to hopefully have a podcast dedicated to that after the draft. I'm going to try to get one in before the draft, but hopefully, definitely after the draft to get my opinion on it. I don't know what they're going to do. I don't even think the Browns know what they're going to do. I don't think Dorsey knows what's going on. Like I said, as you guys know, I would be happy getting Sam Darnold. That's been my guy ever since. Now, I understand he, didn't have the best season. And I know there's a stereotype of USC quarterbacks and whatnot, the Carson Palmers of the world. We had Cody Kessler. Matt Miner didn't turn out to be good as far as this era of quarterbacks go at for USC. But I'm not going to let that affect anything. What I saw from Darnold about a year ago, when he was just still, young pup, obviously, with that team, is I saw a guy that looked like the second coming of Aaron Rodgers. That's what I saw. I mean, the throws, his poise, the decisions that he made, he looked just like Aaron Rodgers to me. And I think he can continue that in the NFL. Obviously, he just has to be coached right. He can't be put in, obviously, a horrible situation like, Kaiser was for the Browns. He has to actually sit there and learn and be able to do the things a young quarterback can do. You can't just throw him into the fire. And he's even said himself that, he wants to kind of be taught what a leader is. And that kind of rubbed a couple of fans the wrong way. I see nothing wrong with the comment. He's a young kid. Obviously, leading in college is much, much different than leading in the NFL, leading a bunch of grown men that are looking up to you to lead them to championships, to lead them to win. So I get what he's saying. I completely understand what he's saying. And hopefully, whatever veteran we acquire or, whoever we get on this team can help lead him to that. Now, a lot of people think it's going to be A.J. McCarron. It might be. Who knows? I'm not going to get there and, sit there and say that's who we're going to get. Some people are saying Kirk Cousins. I highly doubt that. But we'll definitely see what happens. Like I said, I don't want to spend too much time, on the Browns right now because this is about the Cavs. But that's how I feel about them. But I would definitely, like I said, try to have a podcast either before the draft or after the draft to kind of recap everything that's went on. And I am still going to repost my my draft picks from last year, just kind of, kind of give you guys an insight of what I was saying and what I was thinking at that time and how they progressed and if they regressed or if they even played, so, or if they're on the team anymore. So that's kind of how that's going to come when I get to that. But I will definitely repost that. I haven't forgot about it, so definitely be looking forward to that. Now, on to those Cleveland Cavaliers. And I believe this is the first podcast I've did on the Cavs ever since the trade was made. I don't think I've ever got to speak on the trade. I love it, by the way. I definitely do love the trade. I believe the last podcast I did was before IT came back, and I was talking about, you know, the team struggles, and I think they had lost 3 or 4 in a row. And everything was pretty bad. You know, it just wasn't a fun basketball team to watch. It just wasn't something that, as Cavs fans or even a basketball fan, you know, just a connoisseur of the game, that you enjoyed at all. And I was just saying, you know, with IT coming in there, you know, it's going to take a while for him to adjust and for him to do what he does, because everybody was pretty much dumping on him. And, you know, I was just saying, it's just going to take a while for everybody to adjust and kind of, you know, fit in with the team and just kind of grasp where everything was going before we just sat there and said IT was horrible. Well, obviously, hindsight was 20/20 at that time, and we obviously see the IT wasn't the answer for this team at all. He just wasn't. unfortunately, and now obviously he's on the LA Lakers, and of course the big trade that happened, us getting Jordan Clarkson and Larry Nance, George Hill, and of course Rodney Hood, who I'm probably the highest on. Obviously Nance has proved to be the guy that could be the most special out of all these guys, and of course his dad, Larry Nance Sr., played for the Cavs back in the day, but he could be the one player out of that, you know, out of that trade that turns out to be great. And you see this all the time. You know, teams make these big trades, and you know they have a throw-in in there, and the throw-in happens to be the best player. You know, look at the trade that we made with the New York Knicks a couple years ago, and we got J.R. Smith and Shumpert. Well, I think we all based it on Shumpert because we needed a wing defender. Well, boom. But what, you go back to the fight, you know, you go back to the NBA Finals, or just go back to a couple years ago, J.R. Smith's been, you know, the jewel in that trade, you know, making his three-point shots, making clutch three-point shots in the finals, you know, working on his wing defense. He's been the guy that was the best player out of that whole trade, you know, and everybody said it was going to be Shump because of what he brought and what he could, you know, do for the team at the time, you know, on the wing. So I'm definitely happy with the trade. You know, it was something that needed to be done. The team got much younger, they got longer, they got more athletic, and you got much hungrier. You definitely got much hungrier. And one of the things that I've said about the team prior to this was that I think it was just one of those situations where the veterans came in here and they pretty much saw that they were going to ride LeBron's coattails, and that LeBron would just, you know, all of a sudden just go into second gear mode and just take him to the championship, just take him away. And that's just not how it goes. That's just not how the NBA works. You can tell he was winded. You can tell he was tired. And I even admit, at times, it just looked like he just gave up. I admit it. It just looked like he just, just was like, hey, you know, the hell with it. If my guys aren't going to really play and they want to, you know, use me for each and every last little thing, then I don't want anything to do with it. Now, obviously, LeBron would never tell you that. And obviously, the man plays as hard as he can every single night. I'm not suggesting that. But I'm just saying, if you just look at his play, and from eyesight, it just looked like he just kind of just gave up on some of the plays. You know, he didn't go as hard as he usually does. He was taking ill-advised shots. It was just something from LeBron that we just don't see often, you know, or see it at all. Yeah, obviously he's going to have bad games, but it was just something that we didn't see with him playing as, you know, terribly as he did. So that was one of the biggest things when it came to that. But obviously, like I said, with this new team, it's obviously re-energized LeBron. They're young, they're hungry. I still don't think they know what's at stake or where they're at right now or what's on the line here, you know, going to the playoffs. You know, this is Clarkson's first time. Of course, Hill went last year with the Utah Jazz and whatnot. But Clarkson and Nance, this is their first time in the big game. So, you know, we'll definitely see how they do. But George Hill, like, obviously he's been there 3 or 4 times, obviously with the Pacers and whatnot and other teams, and obviously the Spurs. But for the other guys, you know, it's definitely going to be an adjustment. It's definitely something new. Now, like I said, the trade was great. I love the trade. But this podcast really isn't about the trade. It's really about Larry Nance against Double T, the man known as Tristan Thompson. Kardashian. That's what it's basically known as. And one of the biggest reasons I made this podcast, and what I try to do when I make my podcast, is kind of try to get a gauge of where everybody's at, or kind of where, you know, the strong opinions at, and kind of give my 2 cents on it instead of obviously writing it on Twitter or Facebook or whatnot. I want my voice to be heard with, because it's that important an issue to me. Or just anything, you know, or just the recaps of whatever's going on. And the biggest thing now is obviously, you know, with Double T versus Nance, is that there are some people that love Tristan Thompson and feel that he should still be starting, while others love Larry Nance and feel that he should be starting, which is the overall popular opinion. But I was just, you know, advising this kind of what everybody was saying, you know, kind of looking at what, you know, people were commenting on when it came to that. And there were a lot of people that said Tristan Thompson should still be starting. And, you know, a lot of people that made some good points about it. And I wholeheartedly disagree with that. And, you know, I went as far as to say that, you know, if you feel that Double T should be starting right now over Larry Nance, you just don't know basketball, and you don't know basketball. I mean, I really don't know what else to say when it comes to that. you can clearly see that Larry Nance is the player that should be starting right now. Now, can he have prolonged success in what he's doing? We'll definitely find out and see. You know, because right now Double T's out for 2 weeks with the ankle injury, so we're gonna get a heavy, heavy dose of him, and of course Anti-Zizic, who, as you know, in my podcast from the summer, I was very, very excited about getting him. And obviously, I'm center biased because I love centers. And, you know, I've always, you know, studied your game, and I even played center in high school, and, you know, when I, you know, played basketball and whatnot. So, you know, amongst friends. But it's something that, you know, has been an argument amongst people the last couple of days. And I'm kind of surprised because Nance did as good as he did. You know, he obviously introduced a lot of things to the game. I didn't know he had a mid-range shot. I didn't know he could shoot the three if he needed to. LeBron knew it, obviously, but I guess us that observed the game, wouldn't I cover it, weren't able to see it. But I just think clearly that, you know, he's the guy. Now, there was a guy on Twitter, I'm not really sure of his name or whatnot, but I quote-tweeted him, and he had made a comment saying, you know, let's not forget the Double T was a big reason that the Cavs won a championship in 2016. And I just probably wrote him and just said, you know what, that's very true, but you know what, it's time to move on. Okay, my guy, it's definitely time to move on. And I think that's the one thing about Cleveland fans that probably disgusts me the most. You know, I mean, I know it's kind of a strong word, but it really disgusts me because one of the things that fans here can't do is just let go. They can't let go of past primes. They can't let go of players that just don't have it anymore. They can't come to the realization that this player just isn't good anymore. They need to be in a different role. They need to be released, or they just need to retire. They can't seem to come to that. And I don't know if other fan bases are like this. Like I said, I just pretty much pay attention to the Cleveland fan base because this is what I cover and whatnot. It's the region I cover, and obviously born and raised here, it's what I know. But it's just, we just really can't seem to let go. And like I said, one of my biggest examples a couple years ago is when we got rid of DeQuell Jackson, and I probably have used this before, in which, you know, Browns fans were absolutely just livid. I mean, they acted like we got rid of Ray Lewis and Patrick Willis combined. They acted like Luke Kuechly just walked through that door and he just, you know, was not coming back. I mean, it was ugly. It was bad. And I even wrote an article on that, and I even said, you know what, one of the things with Cleveland Browns fans, just like with, you know, I probably say all of our fans, is that they overrate players. You know, while other GMs and you know, guys that are playing this league view a player as maybe below average or just an average player, Browns fans think because they get 157 tackles and 2 sacks, you know, 5 or 10 yards down the field, that we have a Hall of Famer, and we don't. It's the same with Joe Schobert. There's probably a bunch of Browns fans that think Joe Schobert is a great player right now, and he's not. Now, I'm not knocking the kid. You know, he's only in his second year. You know, he can get better and turn into one of the best middle linebackers in the league. Who knows? But to sit there and say he's a great linebacker, you know, because he went to the Pro Bowl, and let's not kid ourselves, he was an alternate. He's probably the last alternates that were picked in there. Let's not get carried away. Let's not get crazy here. So I'm not going to, you know, say that, but I think we just overrate a lot of players. And I kind of got that out of that tweet that I had seen by that guy, and saying that, you know, let's not forget that, because he's wondering why people are so hard on Double T. And I think everybody has a right to be hard on him because of his contract and because of how he's played. You know, it's because of how he's played. You know, I think he would admit himself that he has not had a great season at all. You know, he struggled. Now, obviously, he's been injured, obviously, you know, in the beginning of the season, but he just has not had a good season at all. And we're not seeing the Double T that we saw a couple years ago, especially during the championship. Now, a lot of that is because opposing defenses and teams have made adjustments. And one of the biggest things that I noticed is that, you know, when Double T in 2016 was, you know, getting boards and whatnot, doing what he does, being kind of that energy glue guy, kind of like how, you know, what Nance is doing right now, he was able to kind of sneak in there, you know, with his big body. You know, he's 6'9", about 240, 250. He was able to kind of sneak in there and get that offensive rebound, you know, get that bunny, get that tap in there, get that quick defensive rebound and throw it down the court. He was able to do that. But now when you look at his game and look how teams are playing him, you now have a guy that's on each corner of the hoop. You know, you have two guys in the middle that are obviously battling for the ball, and you have those two corner guys which are key to boxing out Double T, because that's where he really had his most success. And unfortunately, with him not being as athletic, which I think is an advantage for Larry Nance, an advantage for him, he has to work twice as hard. You know, he doesn't have the longest arms in the world, so if he's not getting the rebound, he's just not getting the rebound. You know, the other team's going to get it. Whereas with Larry Nance, with his length and his height and his athleticism, and he does have crazy, crazy athleticism, he's able to kind of get in there and get that board, or maybe, you know, knock it out of somebody's hand and grab it, or even do, you know, I've seen him do a couple of games already, just kind of just stretch out there and just boom, just dunk the ball in there. You know, that's just what shows you the difference in athleticism between him and Double T. Double T's not very athletic. He's strong and he's big, but that athleticism just isn't there. Whereas Renance, he's strong, he's big, and the athleticism there, which makes a huge difference. He's also, like I said, able to shoot the ball a little bit as well. So that's one of the things how teams are definitely playing Double T now. The two guys on the corner, where he's not able to get in there or sneak in there, he has to work twice as hard. And that's why you see him get so many loose ball fouls or, you know, get so many cheap fouls that they call him, because he's just not able to do what he did before because teams have advanced to him. Now the same is going to happen for Nance. You know, I'm not saying he's going to, you know, kind of digress like that, but they're going to adjust to his game. They're going to realize he's an athletic guy. They're going to realize we're going to do something different with him. Now, the one thing with him that's different is that, like I said, the length. He's a very long athletic player. So, you know, if you're not going to get him inside, he can get you outside. Whereas with Double T, it's all inside. It's all inside, all inside, all inside. Whereas with Larry Nance, you know, it's inside, outside, wherever you want it to be. He's a great energy player. And one of the biggest keys, the biggest key of it all, and obviously I think we all know this by now, is the man plays defense. He plays defense like, I mean, it needs to be done, which is something that Double T just doesn't do. You know, he's a shot blocker as well. He can steal the ball from you. He's just a pest. And it kind of reminds me of Andy a little bit. He kind of reminds me of more of an athletic, younger version of Andy, because that's what Andy did for us. Now, Andy took more charges, obviously, than he did, obviously, blocking shots. But occasionally he would block the shot. But it's just that Larry Nance is kind of Andy and Double T put into one. He's blocking shots. He's getting steals. He's making shots. He's dunking the ball. He's doing the things and all the little things that you appreciate and that a championship team needs. Every championship team needs a player like that. They need an energy guy or a guy like that that can get you those kind of points. And, of course, in his first start with the team, Yap had 22 points and 15 rebounds. And, of course, they were talking about the 22 being ironic because his dad's 22 and, of course, he switched his number from 24 to 22, you know. Yeah, his dad's got a retirement for him. So it just showed you, you know, first game. It just showed you the potential that this kid has. Obviously, in the trade, I knew he was a good player. I wasn't expecting this so soon. And, you know, I'm not saying he couldn't reach his potential, but already this soon, he's definitely opening a lot of eyes. And I was able to look at the last three games in the scoring right now. And to some of you, it might not seem like a big difference, but to me it is because I'm looking at the whole spectrum. I'm just looking at points and scores. I'm looking at everything. I'm looking at how they play from minute 1 to 12, you know, in the first through fourth quarter is what I'm looking at. It's more than just that. Now, in the last three games for Double T, let's see, in his last game, he played 22 minutes. His scoring, this is Double T now. Let me get this. 6 points, 11 rebounds, 12 points, 7 rebounds, 6 points, 11 rebounds. Not bad. When you're talking about a player like Double T, who's an energy guy and a guy you want just to get your rebounds and whatnot, the scoring's pretty much a plus. That's not bad at all. Looking at Larry Nance, his last three games, of course, 22 and 15 last game, 14 and 8, and 13 and 7. Now, obviously, he's scoring a lot more and doing, you know, just a little bit more, you know, than Double T was. And you look at it, it's kind of the same scoring-wise. But it's just the energy and everything that Larry Nance did in order to get those points, in order to get those rebounds. He just didn't have to work as hard, and he just had more energy. You know, he was just more athletic, and it looked like there was just more progress with him. Whereas with Double T, it just seemed to be just like a mountain that he had to climb in order to, you know, get the boards or to get the points. It just wasn't there in as smooth as it has been the last couple of years. And I'm not going to tone it to age. You know, I think he's only, what, 20, 27, 28 years old. He's not that old at all. So it's not that. It's just that I think it could be one of these situations where he got paid, he's got a championship, and he's happy. And I know a lot of fans may not think they don't want to hear that, but it's the truth. You know, a lot of players get paid. They get their ring and whatnot, and they get comfortable, and they just really don't give a damn. They don't, you know, they don't have that hunger anymore. They don't have that fire lit in them because they're comfortable where they're at. And unfortunately, this is the NBA. You know, this is the professional sport. You have to bring that fire every single night. Now, granted, you're not going to. Obviously, you're going to have off nights, and you're just going to have nights where it's like, damn, I just really do not feel like playing. But you have to bring that every single night. And it's just something that we haven't seen. I mean, we all know how Double T plays. We know how hard he plays, how much energy he brings to the team. And it just has not been there at all this year. And I dare say going back to after the finals and, you know, winning the championship at 16, it just has not been there ever since that. And it's unfortunate. It's definitely unfortunate. And obviously, getting back to the trade, you know, there were rumors that Double T was trying to, you know, the Cavs were trying to trade Double T to the Clippers to get DeAndre Jordan, which I would have loved and who would be great on this team right now. But just his contract, you know, making $84 million is just nobody wants to take on it. They don't even want to go half on it, you know. And I think if Double P was, you know, playing just even half as good as we know he can play, You know, you probably would have, they probably would have went half on him, be like, all right, you guys pay $42 million, we'll pay the rest of the $42 million, and boom, there you go, we'll take him. But he's not even playing that good. He's not even warranting in that kind of, that kind of deal with any team. So it's not even warranted with him. So, I just definitely think Nance is the better player right now. Now, I do still want us to get a center. I do still think we need a 7-footer in there, a guy in there that can just get you rebounds and play defense. I mean, that's basically what this team needs. The scoring is there, guys. The scoring is there, guys. The three-point shooting, everything that we need, it's there. It's basically just the rebounding and the consistent rebounding and the consistent blocking that we're not getting. That's the biggest thing. Like I say, any points is a plus. We get 10, 15 a night, boom, that's a plus. But we don't need it. We don't need to score. We just need to rebound in the defense. Is that Zizic? We don't know. He's finally going to get a lot of playing time now that Double T's out. So we really don't know about Zizic. But, I mean, he looked good in his last game. He only had 6 points and six rebounds. But, I mean, he contributed big time. I mean, it was a big 6 points and six rebounds. It was 6 points and six rebounds that helped this team, stay in the game. So, I mean, it was huge for us. So, like I said, we don't know if it's him yet or whatnot, but I do still think this team needs a center. Now, obviously, we have the that first round pick that we got from the Celtics in the, obviously in the trade to get Isaiah and Jay Crowder. So one of my favorite players in the draft is DeAndre Ayton, but of course that's everybody's favorite player in the draft now because he's just a baller and he's just having a hell of a year, with Arizona right now. If that pick goes to 3 or 4, I would hope he would drop to us, but it's probably not. I'll be happy getting Marvin Bagley too, but I mean, Ayton to me is the perfect player for this team. He's, like I said, he's built like DeAndre Jordan. He has a defense of DeAndre Jordan, has a game Karl-Anthony Towns already, and he's only, I think, 18 or 19 years old. And he's already built like an NBA player, so you can just imagine as the years go on how much better, how much bigger and stronger he's going to get. So if somehow the Cavs were able to get him to move up and get him, that would be absolutely awesome because he, to me, is a player that fits the mold of the Cavs and would be perfect. He runs a transition on defense and in offense. I mean, he's just the perfect player for this team, which probably means we're not going to get him. Like I said, I like Bagley and some of the other guys, but, I mean, he, to me, would be the perfect fit for the team. But I think Bagley would be great as well, too. We'll definitely see in the draft. I might have to look at some of the prospects and whatnot, but I think he would definitely be a great fit for this team. But, like I said, just pretty much getting to the argument. Like I said, I don't want to make this too long, obviously, because this is based on Double T and Larry Nance. Nance should be the starter, and, I think everybody should see, should definitely see that. He's been phenomenal in the pick and roll, whether, on the defensive end and just setting the pick and roll for LeBron and setting it for George Hill and whatnot, which is something that Double T has struggled with. And that was also something with Double T that he was great at, during the 16th season. He was great off the roll. He was phenomenal. He was able to set that pick and roll and was able to get the easy dunk or the easy basket. But unfortunately now, teams are shielding him. And he can't seem to beat that shield, or he's not aggressive enough on the shield of the defense. So he's not even able to really do that anymore. So it's kind of like, his game has gotten shut down. He just himself has not made the adjustments to the adjustments that the other team has made. And I think that's the biggest issue with him. And, hopefully he makes it. Hopefully that's something that he works on. I don't think Tyronn Lue should start him when he gets back. Like I said, he's out for 2 weeks. I hope that he keeps Larry Nance in there. Everybody can recognize it. I hope he finally recognizes it. He's just such a Lue is such a stickler. He's just such a hard head, so stubborn when it comes to things that he doesn't realize that, this move is better than that move. And I'm just one of these people that feels like if regular fans can see this, people that write about this and people that actually view the game can see the changes that should be made, why can't he see it? And I don't know if he knows something. I don't know if something's up, but it's just that Larry Nance probably should have started from the beginning. Because, I mean, we obviously see what he's done. We obviously see the difference that he's made on this team and, just how he is already in this short time. So, hopefully, this is a realization for Lue that he should be the starter. Do not go in there and start Double T. For the love of God, do not start him when he gets back. That would just be terrible. And I think we'll, it just won't be good. It definitely won't be good. And I also saw something. Don't want to quote me on this or whatnot, but I saw something that when Double T was in the games or when he started, I think we were like, 17 and 23 or something. It wasn't very good. It may have been even more losses. And when he wasn't starting, we were like 21-3 or something like that, which is absolutely just fantastic. I mean, you can't get more lopsided than those numbers right there. Obviously, coaches don't go by the stats or listen to any of that stuff, but that's mind-boggling. So basically, when he's in there, we lose. When he's not in there, we win games. So that's definitely a kicker for you. But Nance is the better player right now. You know, like I say, much younger, much athletic. He brings more to the table, you know, athleticism-wise. He's just a guy that, you know, somebody that you can build around and somebody that's going to do the dirty work for you, just something that Double T really doesn't do anymore. You know, he brings it. He brings the energy, and he also is very electrifying to the fans. You know, they said he almost cried when he realized he was coming here. I mean, that right there tells you the passion and the heart that this man had wanting to come back to Cleveland. I mean, that's phenomenal. So, pretty much in this argument, like I said before, you really don't know basketball if you think that Double T should come back and be the starter. You just really don't. You know, he was supposed to be the sixth man, you know, sixth man this year anyway when Kevin Love was anointed the starter. But I think even more so now that we're seeing Nance outplaying him and obviously Love outplayed him earlier, that he should be the sixth man. If he doesn't like it, then that's just tough. He just won't play. That needs to get some time. But I think that's what's best for him right now, and that's what's best for the team. And if he can't realize that himself, then I don't know what to tell him. Unfortunately, the team can't, you know, outright waive him or release him because they will be on the hook for that $84 million, and I believe he has a couple more years left on it, so they're kind of stuck with him. There's nothing they can really do. But I think, you know, going forward, I think Nance is the guy. He's definitely the guy, and I think just you don't have to know, you know, you really don't even have to know basketball to make that assumption or decision. You can just see it from the eye test that, you know, he is the guy that should be starting, period. Like I said, he just brings so much more to the team. You know, off-screen roles is good. He guards against the screen. He guards against the pick and roll. He goes out there and guards. I mean, he just does all the things that Thompson just doesn't do anymore. And it's crazy because a couple years ago, pretty much Double T was what Nance was, only without the jump shot. And now he's just a complete shell of himself. So that's pretty much where I'm ending on. I just kind of wanted to end that argument with people still saying that Double T should start. Nance should be the guy, and that's just what it should be for right now, you know, unless they end up getting DeAndre Jordan in the offseason or something, or getting AD or something, we'll see. But I just kind of wanted to just kind of put a nail in the coffin of that argument right now about those two playing. As I said before, I'm going to try to get more podcasts up. I'm trying to get, like I said, some on the Browns, hopefully before the draft. Obviously, with the Indians playing, I'm going to get some on them as well. So I'm going to definitely try to get these podcasts up. Definitely check my articles out, of course, at fansided.com, at Hoops Habit, and, of course, with the Indians. At now, 247media.com. It's not scout.com anymore. You can still go to scout.com and still, you know, type in Indians. But now it's 247 Media, which is affiliated with CBS.com. And, of course, I still have my storylines on there. But there's a little bit of a difference. I'm not doing it twice a week now. I'm only doing it once a week on Sundays. And pretty much I'm just giving a recap of all the top stories within the Indians, within the MLB. You can check it out. Some of the things you may have missed, some of the things you did, some of the things you may have been curious about. But it's definitely on there now. And like I said, it is not scout.com anymore. It's 247media.com affiliated with CBS Sports. So definitely check that out. And again, thanks for listening, guys. You know, I hope you enjoy my podcast. And for Jameson Frierson, for the Big Hoss Podcast, go Cavs, go Browns, go Tribe, and let's get it, baby.